And would you please pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we come now to open your word. We're so grateful for this opportunity, and we pray, as Joe has prayed, that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds to all that you want us to learn this morning. What a blessing it is that you reveal yourself to us through your word. So be with us now, open our hearts and minds, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a young boy growing up, before I even knew the word authority or how to spell authority, I knew that there were people in my life who were telling me what to do and what not to do. My parents, my grandparents, my teachers, my Cub Scout leaders, even my older sister would try. While I was often uncertain of the benefits of obedience, I was always certain of the consequences of disobedience. As I grew older and grew into my teen years, I learned that along with authority comes the acknowledgement of that authority of people who are in have power over us and signs of respect that we give to them. I went to a high school where teachers were called masters, and the head of the school was the headmaster. And when you were gathered in a classroom and the master walked into the room to begin the lesson, you stood up and you stayed standing until instructed to sit. And they were addressed as sir or mister. These were signs of respect for people in authority. Then in 1968, I requested and received a leave of absence from college to enlist in the Marine Corps. And I boarded the train in New Haven with about 40 other young men, and we rode down to Charleston, got off, got on a bus, and we arrived at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in Parris Island, South Carolina. And after several hours of processing and getting all your gear and getting the famous world's fastest haircut, we come stumbling out after literally hours, and now it's bright morning, and we come stumbling out and put our feet in the yellow footprints on the pavement. And I was introduced, and I use that word lightly, I was introduced to Senior Drill Instructor Staff Sergeant Koo, and Drill Instructor Staff Sergeant Kaiser, and Drill Instructor Sergeant Avedisian. And I knew that I had now encountered authority with a capital A. And I learned to show signs of respect, and not just because of being ordered to, but because these were men who deserved respect, and that their one goal in life was to help me survive. And I truly appreciated that. All of this is to share why I identify very closely with the centurion who encountered Jesus. And if you would open with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. I'll be reading from the New International Version translation. As Pastor Michael always encourages us, please sometime during this week go back and revisit these scriptures. The Lord will always show you something that he would like you to learn out of these passages. This is his word and where his power is in this word. Matthew 8, beginning at verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Amen. The centurion identified with Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? Only God knows how that knowledge was put into his heart. But he knew that Jesus had authority and power to heal his servant. And that he didn't even have to travel and touch him. Just say the word. How powerful. Just say the word. And my servant will be healed. And Jesus was astonished. I mean, imagine that. Jesus astonished. But imagine what joy he must have felt to see this faith in this man. Such faith. And there's this connection now between recognizing the authority of Jesus. So we have this connection between recognizing the authority of Jesus and having faith in him and in his power to accomplish things. And in truth, the centurion, who was a man with authority with a capital A, has just encountered the man with authority, all capital letters. Now, I've been fascinated for years by the root word, the fact that the root word for authority is author. I mean, authors create and transform using words. And an authority, or someone who's an expert on a particular topic, we call them someone who wrote the book on a particular, you know, Julia Child wrote the book on French cooking. You know, Ted Williams wrote the book on hitting a baseball. They're authorities. They're experts. The triune God that we worship and praise and thank, who we worship and praise and thank, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is not only the author of all life, but he is the authority on all life. This creative and transformational power is communicated through words, the written word of God's Holy Bible, human writers inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the living word, God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author of our faith. If you would look at me at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, or if you prefer to just listen along, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And remember that this follows chapter 11 in Hebrew, which is the listing, that long listing of all of the powerful witnesses, the faithful ones. Some people call it the Hall of Fame of faith. All of those wonderful faithful witnesses listed in their names, and even those who are unnamed, listed in chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 12 goes on to say, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. The author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the author, all capitals. There are many people who recognized the authority of Jesus. If we look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And Paul is writing here about the supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Amen. All things created by him and for him and through him, the author of all life, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, speaking of people who recognize this in Jesus, even in his own time, Matthew 7, 28 and 29, if you would turn with me there. Matthew chapter 7. And this is the response of people who heard Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Very short passage, but this is how they responded to all of the teachings he had just given them. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed. Just as the centurion was astonished, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The people who heard the Sermon on the Mount encountered the author. They were hearing the words of God from the author of those words, and that is what gave them the authority, and they knew it. They recognized it. Praise God. And they were amazed and astounded. Amen. Now, Jesus was not shy about having authority, and he talked frequently about the authority that had been given him. And we're going to look at three passages where he discusses that. The first is, again, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. And just to explain the setting for this, right at the end of chapter 8 in Matthew, Jesus has cast out the demons from two men who were demon-possessed, and he threw them into a herd of pigs, and the pigs ran down a steep bank and into the lake, and they drowned. And the people in that region came out of the town when they had heard what happened, and they came to Jesus and they begged with him to leave their region. They had encountered this power, but they wanted nothing to do with this. They were frightened and did not understand. They pleaded with him to leave their region. So now we begin chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," and he stopped speaking there to them. Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God, who had given such authority to men. They didn't know, again, necessarily who they were seeing as Son of Man, Son of God, but they knew that God had worked through this man, Jesus of Nazareth, to bring healing and to bring power. They recognized his authority, and he proclaimed his authority on earth to forgive sins. Praise God. Another example is recorded in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18. John chapter 10. And here we find Jesus speaking to a crowd, including some Pharisees. And this is after he had healed the man who had been born blind. And he's now trying to use the analogy and explain to them how he is the good shepherd. And when we get to verse 14, he's somewhat repeating himself, but he says to them again, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Amen. Here is perhaps the ultimate authority that we would understand on earth, the ability to lay down his life and take it up again, because his Father had given him that for a purpose, for a reason, for our salvation, for our redemption. But he had that authority and knew he had that authority and knew he was going to exercise it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And finally, the Great Commission as recorded in Matthew 28, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Following the resurrection, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." They were obedient. "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Amen. All authority has been given to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can trust in that reality and in that truth. Two weeks ago, Pastor Michael began teaching us about the preeminence of God's plans. And he taught us that by his word, his written word and the living word, his son Jesus, God creates and saves and delivers, sustains, guides, heals, blesses, gives life, and reveals his plan for each of us individually and all of us corporately. His church, the body of Christ. God's plans are good. Now, Pastor Michael showed us that our choice, our responsibility, is to hear, to follow, and to obey our good shepherd. Today, I encourage each one of us to remember all the benefits of obedience to the one who is both the author of our lives, physical and spiritual, and the authority on our lives. He knows everything about us, and he loves us. In closing, please hear what the author wants to do in and through each one of our lives, as Paul described it to the people living in Corinth. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, or listen along. "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we acknowledge you as the author of our lives and the authority in our lives, and we submit and surrender. And we look forward to all that you want to write in and through us, your plan, your story. You want people to read us and read our hearts and see your Son, Jesus Christ, and his great love for them, all of the mercy, all of the grace poured out. So help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. The blessings are untold, uncountable, and the purpose is rock solid. So use us today and every day as we go forward. Keep us centered in you. We are so grateful, and we pray all this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.